Hey man, welcome back to the Super Divorce Supercast.
Welcome.
Nicholas Villars here, aka Super Divorce, and today, on the 115th episode of the Supercast, I would like to talk about this game that I hold in my hand right now, and if you can't see it because you're just listening, it's a game called Stellar Blade. I want to talk about all the Stellar Blade things going on. The controversies, the tribulations, the foibles and fables. We're going to talk about this game today. Stellar Blade. First of all, look at this fantastic packaging. Look at that. I'm going to describe it. It's got the traditional blue, clear blue PlayStation 5 fucking, you know what I'm talking about. On the inside, there is there's a pre-order bonus that I've been given. I'm not going to show you the code for it because I don't want you to collect it before I can. And then the disc is a standard PlayStation 5 disc. It's always good to buy things in disc form. You know, the reason is that then they can't take it away from you. They can't say, whoops, we lost your account information, and now all your games belong to us. It's got a reversible sleeve, artwork sleeve, that you can flip around just so, any way that you like. I like both ways, but I like the traditional way better, I think. So I'm going to flip it back around for my damn self, just because that's how I want to keep it, and I would like to display it thusly. You, however, are free to buy this on your own and display it however you would like. You can use the reversed side, or you can use the traditional side, whatever you prefer. Now, ever since this game was announced, in 2019, they were going to call it Project Eve way back then. And from the get-go, this game was thrown under the bus by certain people. Certain people were very upset with it because it featured a sexy female protagonist. And there are people out there who don't like that kind of thing. And they get very upset about it. And then they rally to have characters less attractive, to make them more realistic. As if there aren't real attractive people in real life. Right? All these people are all about, don't body shame, don't shame people for the way they look. But then, how are truly attractive people to feel when characters who, let's say, represent them in games? What do we got there? I'm buzzing around. How are people to feel? How are attractive people to feel? Well-built people to feel when they see a character who's nicely, like a man in a game, a big bruiser guy, and you got a meathead, a real beefcake who's playing the game at home, and he looks at the TV, he's like, hey, he kind of has my physique. And then he goes online and he sees people talking about how that physique is unrealistic. That's not how a human being looks. Or you got a lady who sits down to play, why, Stellar Blade, for instance. And she looks on the TV and she says, oh, I feel represented by Eve. Because she's got a small waist and she's got a big fat ass and she's got them nice big old titties. And that's just like me, and I feel represented right now. And then they go online, they see frumpy, middle-aged, fucking, what would you say? What are they? They're frumpy, they're middle-aged, they're discontented, they're lonely. They are the types of people who can't find comfort in the arms of other human beings. And so oftentimes they will end up trying to find comfort in their animals. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having pets. I've got pets. I do. And there are people out there who love their pets just like I love mine. And that's fine. That's fine. But look, I'm going to tell you what, guys. I'm gonna level with you. I'm going to be real as shit right here. No matter how much you love your pet, it's not a human being. And your pet, it'll be around for a little while in your life. But if you want if you want to replace human beings with pets, if you want to replace human beings and the companionship that they could provide to you in your life, the companionship you would receive from a spouse or perhaps from children or grandchildren one day, you're going to have to keep re-upping on pets all the way until the end of your life, because they don't stick around as long as people do. You're going to have to re-up on the pets. You don't have to do that with people. And that's not a reason to get married or to have children instead of just getting pets, instead of just subscribing to a new pet every 10 or so years. Hopefully they last longer than that. But my point is, your pet is not going to be there for you the way that a nice large family would be there for you. Or even a companion, even a spouse or a life partner, if you want to call it that. That used to be more of a gay thing. People used to say partner. That's been picked up, and it's come into common usage from straight people. And I think that I usually don't care about appropriation, but that's one that bothers me, because I feel like that was reserved in a way. It used to be, you'd only hear that when someone was talking about their gay lover. My partner Bill is coming over for dinner, and oh, his partner's coming with him. They're a gay couple. They're coming over, yes. And everyone knows when they hear that, your partner. And then somewhere along the lines, like, it's not, there's a certain type of person who does this. I would say straight people who use partner to reference their significant other are probably the same people who are upset about Stellar Blade and Eve's rack and ass and her presentation, the camera angles that they chose to use in the game. Let's get back to Stellar Blade, however, because we've gone off into the weeds here, and I need to bring us back for a moment. Stellar Blade. When it started off as Project Eve in 2019, the teaser trailer showed a very attractive woman. People were reminded of say, a character Bayonetta. And it had the same kind of vibe to it. And for some reason, we've gotten to a point where people don't like seeing new characters like that. It bothers a certain subset of people. And I'm not saying that it's a large majority of people. It's a very small, tiny group, but they're very loud and they're very good at whining and getting their way. That's the problem with them. People will say, well, those are people just on Twitter, and Twitter's not real life. You know, it's not that big of a deal. Well, actually it is, kind of, because those people are good at making themselves seem more numerous and more powerful on the internet than they actually are, and more powerful than they actually should be. But they do a good job grouping up and appearing more numerous than they actually are. So I bring them up to say those people were upset from the very beginning about this game. And it was like, oh, do we really have to have these camera angles, a fan service? Aren't we past this? Aren't we past presenting females a certain way? And no, we're not. And we never should be, because it's up to the creators of the game, see, to decide how they want to present their characters. They shouldn't be taking into account what a small, unhappy, miserable, wretched group of people are going to have to say about their shit. I'm just saying, people should be free to create the games that they want to create, write the characters they want to write. And hey, if you are a frumpy, unhappy, middle-aged cat lady, and you don't feel like you're being represented in games properly, say in the superhero genre, because there aren't enough superheroes who look like you. There aren't enough superheroes who are also miserable, wretched, frumpy, middle-aged cat ladies. If that is you, there are fantastic resources out there now where you can educate yourself on how to create your own video games. I'm doing it right now, guys. And I'm doing a very difficult version of game creation. I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I suck. I am a noob of noobs. I'm not good. I'm not doing a very good job right now, but I'm trying. I'm busting my ass, and I'm a hell of a lot better than I was when I first started. And that's the road you have to go down if you want to create shit that you never created before. Or you want to learn a new skill. You have to be okay with sucking at the beginning and admitting that you suck. So these people say this stuff. Change this character. Make him more like, I feel I'm not represented properly. I need to blah, blah, blah. Represent yourself. Go and make a game. Make whatever game you want to. Make whatever game you want to and make the character look just like you. Self-insert to your heart's content. If that's the only thing that, if that's the only way that you can connect with media, if you're so narcissistic and self-absorbed, the only way that you can connect with media is when the main character of the game looks, sounds, and acts exactly like you. Believes the same things you believe. It's just a self-insert. The only way I can get into media is when I see myself on the screen. Then go ahead and make the game you want. And put yourself in there. And you can make that to represent you and all of the people that you think fucking would be in the same group that you are in. Whatever that happens to be. You can do that. You really can. I'm not being snarky. This isn't like make your own social media platform or make your own Walmart or make your own rocket company. It's not like that. This is something that you could like, you could start learning tonight or today or this morning. Whenever you're watching this, if you feel like I'm talking to you and you're like, oh, hold on. Yeah, I guess I could make my own game. Actually, this is for anyone who might want to make a game, even if you're not this type of person I was just describing, this miserable wretch. If you're not a miserable wretch and you just are interested in making games, you could get started today. And there are fantastic free resources, just courses that people have taken the time to put up on YouTube. There are other great websites that host courses like Udemy, where you can pay a very reasonable price. Like, okay, because some people come at you, they say, I don't have the money to go back to school to learn how to make video games. Must be nice. No, you don't have to pay anything. You could get started for free just watching YouTube videos, and you can download basically the engine of your choice to get started. You know, you can download whatever you need to get your foot in the door to begin making the game that you are envisioning in your mind. You could get started on it. You can learn the beginning tools. And then if you need to, if you're needing a little more in-depth information, you know, save up a little bit over the course of a few weeks, a few months, whatever you need to, and actually enroll in a course. Some of these are online for like $14, $14.99. And you get like a fucking 50-hour course that will take you all the way through the creation of a game or multiple games, multiple different styles of games, multiple engines. You can learn the coding. You can learn how to make games without coding at all. I mean, the options are just like endless now. So there's really no excuse for it. This whole thing of I don't feel like I'm being represented properly as a fucking whatever. You don't have to be. Represent yourself. There are plenty of games. Look, do I feel represented when I play Stellar Blade? When I played the demo, did I get excited about the game because I really saw myself in E? That might not be good to say. A lot of people might be excited about this because they saw themselves in Eve, but not in the way that we're trying to talk about right now. What I mean is I didn't see myself reflected in the character. Other people don't see themselves reflected in this character. They're just, well, you just want to watch her tits bounce and her ass jiggle around. And there's a lot more to it than that, guys. And everyone knows that because there are just oodles and oodles of horrible TNA games out there that are awful, where it's like, you know, just what? Look at Steam. There are probably thousands upon thousands of adult games on Steam that no one gives a shit about. It's not just the fact that, like, oh, there's a hot chick in a game, everyone's excited. Because you could go and you could download any number of games like that, and most people don't care to, because they're not fun to play. There's nothing really special about it, nothing captivating. It's the combination of a badass-looking chick who's beautiful in a world that's also brilliantly crafted with combat that is wonderfully executed, with a challenge factor to it, you know? And I've only played the demo so far. I just picked this up, so I've not gotten into the game proper yet, but I thought the demo was badass. It was really difficult. It was a lot more challenging than I was anticipating. I thought it was going to be more of like a hack and slash, just run around chopping shit up, but it's more like a what Souls-like. I hate that shit. I hate describing things that way, but that's what people say now. It's more along the lines of like a Souls game, with the parrying and the timing and paying attention to the enemy's weaknesses, all that kind of stuff. You're not just going to run through and slash, slash, slash Bob's your uncle. You got to pay attention to what you're doing. You got to take your time. And that's the experience you're going to have with it. It's not a hack and slash in the traditional sense. Elements of that, but not exactly. So, anyway, when I played the demo, I was impressed. And I was like, all right, yeah, I'll try this out for sure. So I've been looking forward to the actual game's release, and it finally came out, and almost immediately we had scandals. We had scandals aplenty. Now here's what I thought was interesting. Here's something I did not expect. Before the scandals really blew up, I started looking at all of the reviews that came out for this one. And here's the crazy thing. I expected all of the reviews to be trashing it for its sexy outfits and for its fan service camera angles, you know, zooming in on her ass and her tits too much and being like, oh, the game would have been better if they didn't include this shit. And here's, I was genuinely very surprised that I didn't see much mention of that stuff at all across the board. And I'm talking about like through all of the major video game sites reviews and a handful of like, I would say smaller, more independent video game review sites. I had to have read like 20 different reviews for Stellar Blade, which I really don't do, but I was curious. I was curious to see what these different publications were going to be saying about it and how they would handle the reviews and how large a part the buildup and the sexuality would be. I was interested to see how much that would be peppered in, how much of a deal they would make about that particular aspect of the game. And I didn't see it much at all. Even on like IGN and perhaps most surprisingly, Kotaku's review was like, they just stuck to the game itself. And that was like mind-blowing because I thought they were going to be the worst. And so I'll give them credit where it's due. They didn't go into that. It was like they're talking about the game itself. They're talking about the gameplay. They're talking about the story, the characters, the world of the game, the difficulty, all that kind of stuff. The stuff you would actually care to know about in a review instead of what we've kind of grown accustomed to over time. And I think that's the sort of opinion piece flavor of almost all these reviews now, where it feels like oftentimes you're not getting a journalist trying to speak for the publication and just do their best job describing the game objectively. You know, of course, there's always going to be opinion mixed in when you're dealing with reviews because they're trying to either steer you towards buying something or away from it. So I understand that. But there's a certain level of like informality that we've just gotten used to, where a lot of times you're reading a review and it feels like just straight up opinion piece from someone with an axe to grind. So I was pleasantly surprised about the way that the reviews were handled, like I said, almost across the board. The scandal of the scantily clad protagonist was mostly missing, as it should be, because it's not really a scandal. That's just the game. When it was brought up, most of the time, it was done in a way where it was just the person reviewing the game letting the reader know this character is presented in a certain way. And some people are going to like it and some people aren't. And if you don't like it, then perhaps this just isn't the game that you should be playing. Which, thank you. That's the way it should be. That's how these things should be handled. Or if you can deal with it, not saying you even have to love it, but the problem with the traveler, as it's called, or the tourist coming into all these different hobbies over past few years now and just wrecking them, is that you've got long-standing traditions, fan bases who have built up a desire for a certain type of content, from creators who have grown accustomed to creating a certain type of content. And there's like a simpatico that comes to be. And over time, that simpatico grows, the fan base grows, and you would think the people coming into the fan base would be fans of the shit that is bringing them there, right? Not so with the travelers. The travelers seem to be drawn to like a certain something in a series, in a TV show, a series of films, a series of video games. Maybe there's something that catches their eyes and then they go towards it. But once they get inside of it, once they're in the mix and they look around, they see what the thing is actually about. They find a lot that is problematic for them. A lot of things that they're not cool with. And rather than just excuse themselves from the fandom, what these people do is they start demanding that all these things be changed to suit their particular tastes. And just fuck all of the people who built this thing up to become what it was. No, they're not important. I am important now that I'm here. I'm here to let you know this is not okay. This is not okay. That's not okay. You need to change this. You want to change this, or else what? Or else in a thinly veiled way, I'll destroy you. I'll get all my people riled up and we're going to come after you. And then you're going to have to issue a public apology once it reaches a fever pitch, and it's going to be a big mess. You can maybe avoid this if you just give me what I want right now. And that's how so many of these scandals just play out. And that's why it's so annoying to see time and time again. And what ends up happening is the creators of these games, these movies, these TV shows, comic books, they bend to the will of the travelers. They give them what they want. And then in the process of doing so, drive off a large portion of the actual fans. And they're left with a tiny fraction of the supportive group who made them what they were. The people who came into it and destroyed it aren't really, they're not lifers, they're not homers. They saw it as a shiny object, and once the thing is changed, they're usually out of there, onto something else. They find something else that looks shiny, and once they get inside of it, realize it needs change, it needs altered, it needs brought up to speed, updated for a modern audience. And they go and they demand again somewhere else, And what they do is they just leave a trail of hollowed out carcasses all across media. And these things become shells of what they once were. And the old school fans just aren't with it anymore. They're done. They wash their hands of it and they're like, okay, I don't want any of this new shit that you guys are throwing at me. Like in the case of Star Wars or with Marvel Comics or DC Comics. It's like, you guys do whatever the fuck you want to. I've been at this point for a long time where I don't get upset by the absurdities so much. I'm not like gritting my teeth and shaking my fist at the sky when these various tokenizations are put forward as if they're groundbreaking, moments in the fight for equality and on this front or that. It's like, it's all bullshit. It's all marketing. It's all PR. No one really cares about it. All you're doing is you're ruining shit that people liked. That's it. The whole concept of representation and making sure that people feel seen and whatnot, I think that's one of the worst ideas that we've come up with. I really do. I'm not saying that it's bad, for instance, if a little black kid is watching a TV show and there's another black character and there's kind of like this little spark where it's like, oh, that's kind of like me. I'm not saying that's bad. What I'm saying is bad is this notion we've pushed where the most important thing about a character is their skin color or, you know, their political ideology or their sexuality. That is awful. That's a horrible idea. And it's a horrible message to send to kids. Because what you should be doing is you should be saying the most important thing about the character is, well, like if it's a hero, their heroic qualities. The most important thing about this character is that they're selfless, or even in the case of someone like Han Solo, because that character resonates with people who are maybe a little more on the cynical side. People who aren't like super bubbly and aren't like the traditional hero in their own lives. Maybe the guy's a little bit of an asshole. And if you're a little bit of an asshole, but you still feel like you have the heart of gold, you can kind of make that connection. And that's something that transcends race or religion or any of these other qualities that really in the big scheme of things aren't very important. You know, when I was younger and the Blade movies first came out, I just thought they were badass. I just wanted to watch those movies because they were fucking awesome. And Blade was a badass character to watch in a film going around and just destroying vampires. That's just fucking cool. And Blade, the character portrayed by Wesley Snipes, was perfect. It was perfect. Never once was I watching those movies or any other movie that features like a character who looks different than I do. Never once have I been watching a film that I'm enjoying and think to myself, yeah, this is good, but it'd be better if the character was a white guy with long hair. Like, I feel like that's like a mentally ill, fucked up view to take. It's wrong. It's silly. It's a silly belief to propagate. Especially on purpose. You know, you could see people getting wrapped up in that, maybe. They start putting more stock into the appearance of the character than they should. And you could kind of tumble into a situation where, you know, you start looking for that. But maybe you could pump the brakes on it because it's not being forced upon you by all of society telling you that's the most important thing. Telling children that's the most important thing. This shit is fucked up. It's awful. Awful idea. We would do well to get away from that very quickly, in my humble opinion. But anyway, Stellar Blade. Back to the reviews that I was talking about, right? There was a lack of focus on just the scantily clad nature of the main character. And that was good. I enjoyed reading some of these reviews, actually, which I don't normally do. It's probably the most reading I've done of mainstream video game publications in quite some time. And it wasn't all awful. Some of it was. There were a few that made me like shake my head in disappointment. Like I said, not gritting my teeth, not getting angry. I wasn't throwing things across the room. But there were a few that were pretty lame. I think the guy at Games Radar, that guy probably won the grand prize. Lame-o of the Day Award for his what he had to say. He actually, you know, he tricked me because he got most of the way through his review and then there was like a paragraph about the regrettable nature, if you will, of her her outfits. And in fact, let me see exactly what he said here, because I don't want to get it wrong. I don't want to put words in his mouth. This guy said this. He's like, the unavoidable backdrop to all this is the treatment of Eve's character and how her sexually exaggerated design clashes with the dour tone the story tries to build. As breaking from his review here, I must interject, as if you can't have a sexy character in a sort of harrowing scenario. It's one or the other. If there's some real heavy shit going on, the character has to be ugly, I guess. Or at least has to be covered up enough for this guy to take the character seriously. I don't know. Back to his review. He says, Stellar Blade is infinitely better when it lets its characters act like normal people instead of prodding them to be outwardly sexy. Eve winds up trapped in a needless tug-of-war of the game's creation. One moment, the camera treats her as an unserious sex object for players to gawk at, and in the next, the story presents her as a serious character whose entire arc revolves around her own sense of agency. Again, as if it couldn't be both of those. As if you can't have a character who is going to draw your eyes in because of the way she looks, and then also have her in, you know, embroiled in some sort of serious story that's unfolding, that you're playing, that you're part of, that you're drawn into. Back to his review here. He says, it's not a good or cohesive look when the game repeatedly presents lewd outfits, lingerie, bikinis, and bunny girl suits like they're rewards to chase, using a soulless, dead-eyed version of Eve as the model. So, just basically presenting the player with these little diversions and side quests like almost every fucking video game like this has, he's saying, is not a good thing to do. It's not okay to have these unlockable outfits sort of... They're not things that you have to chase down. You don't have to unlock all of these outfits. You don't have to go after them. If that idea bothers you, if breaking away from the main storyline to go and do whatever you need to do to unlock the lingerie or the bunny girl outfits, if breaking away from the main story to do those things sort of violates your enjoyment of the game and causes you to have your immersion broken in a really serious way that can't be put back together again, then you could not do those things. You could not go after the bunny outfit. And you don't have to then make Eve try them on as a soulless, dead-eyed version of herself. You know. Back to his review. It could not be clearer that she would never wear these within the context of the game's world, so they feel forced on her, and for what? Here's for what. The for what is for fun. That's the for what. It's not that difficult. It's not that hard to figure out what the for what is. You're given the option to do these things for fun. They add fun to the game. Maybe you think it's silly to put on the French maid costume and then battle huge demonic monsters and rip them apart, tear them asunder with your stellar blade. Maybe that adds to the enjoyment for you. And if it doesn't, then you just don't have to, you don't have to do that. No one's going to force you to do that. No one's going to force you to play that game in that way. That's up to you. I feel like the reaction to those things being included, if you don't like them, you should feel gratitude that they give you the option to either do them or not. That seems like a healthy-minded approach to taking issue with the inclusion of these diversions. Be glad that you don't have to. Be glad you don't have to partake of those particular outfits, or that you don't have to sit there in the menu screen and try on the different outfits for her and make her turn around so you can see her ass and all this kind of stuff. You don't have to do any of that. That should be good. In fact, he goes on and says, thankfully, there are a lot of sensible, fashionable outfits that actually look good on Eve, like a classic leather jacket and jeans, so I just wore those. Okay. And then he says he was never really bothered by Stellar Blade's fixation on sex appeal. It was the jank that wore him down. Well, it sounds like you're plenty bothered, pal, because you're writing this blurb. And then there's a little box. If you're reading the review online, there's a little box, like a little sidebar, off to the side from this review. And it says this. This review doesn't spend much time discussing the sexually charged design of Stellar Blade's protagonist Eve or the related handling of her character, not because it isn't an important part of the critique and discussion for this game, but because it warranted a separate article entirely. So you get to the end of this and you're like, okay, well, he had this little fucking blurb to throw in. Of course, he had to mention this. He had to put it in this way. He had to let everyone know how he feels about it as a person, as a man who's not going to be objectifying Eve. I'm not one of those guys. But it wasn't just that. He had to write an entire separate article to get all of his feelings out about Eve's sexually exaggerated design. So if you would like to read that, it's on the Games Radar page, and enjoy chefs if you decide to jump in to that pool. Anyway, that was about the worst of it that I saw, which in the big scheme of things isn't too bad. That's much less to contend with than I thought that I was going to have to when I first set about reading 20-ish reviews of this game. Not too bad. And then a few other passing comments here or there. But again, it was not the main focus of most reviews. So good. Good job, reviewers and journalists, for doing your damn work and sticking to the important shit. Now, backing up just a little bit before the game released, there was a bit of press that started going around, letting everyone know that Stellar Blade would be uncensored in all regions. They were not going to do one version for this market, one version for this other one. So if you wanted the true uncensored game, you're going to have to order it from this country or anything like that. It's just everyone's getting the same Stellar Blade, and it is uncensored. It's the original artistic vision, no matter where you go in the world. If you go to Japan and buy Stellar Blade, you're getting the same copy that you're going to get if you go to Canada and buy it. Nice, right? It's pretty good. Unfortunately, it didn't take very long for that to no longer be the case, as upon the game's release, I think within a couple hours, someone had noticed that if you go down an alleyway, there was up on the wall there in front of you. I think it's down an alley. I haven't been to this part of the game yet, but that's what it looked like to me. Anyway, you're facing a building, and on the building was written the word hard. And right next to the word hard, the graffiti that spelled the word hard, there was a sign like a neon sign directing the player to a shop called R Shop. Little neon sign right there. So if you read it left to right and put these two things together, you would read hard R. Immediately that blew up. That was like, oh my God. Stellar Blade has included this racist dog whistle in the game. The creators have slipped this thing in there. They've slipped this tricky way of making people think about the N-word, because that's what hard R has come to mean. When people say that, a lot of times they're talking about the N-word with the hard R at the end. The very matter-of-factly racist way of saying it, as opposed to the more, what would you say, the softer R, or not R, just the ending the word with instead of er. You know what I'm getting at there. There's a difference. One is usually used as a greeting almost. What's up, my... It's not usually said with a hard R in that scenario, right? You know? So this hard R, the hard in graffiti and then the R of the neon sign, hard R, that's a scandal. IGN, they reached out to Sony, I believe, and very quickly Sony had put out their own press release saying, oh, blah, 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 blah. We definitely didn't intend for this to be in the game, and it's completely unintentional, and it's going to be patched out immediately. So there goes the uncensored right off the bat, because you're censoring something that was in the game that they said would not be censored. The game itself, it was supposed to be done. Here it is. We're talking about Stellar Blade before it comes out. There is one version. It's going to be hitting store shelves. It's going to be the same all the way across the world. It's uncensored. But now, because you found this thing, well, except for that, let's censor that, because people are going to read it a certain way. My personal opinion is that it was probably completely unintentional. You can't read that into it and then force them to change it because of what you think the thing means, when it can also be interpreted other ways. It could be completely nothing. There could be nothing to it at all. Like, it's just, who the fuck knows? Just the word hard. Maybe that's, I don't know, that if they wanted graffiti on the wall, it was going to say something. Maybe they just chose that word for literally no reason. That could very well be. That's highly likely, in fact, from a Korean development team. I highly doubt that they were looking at that wall and they said, how can we slip in a subtle jab at a certain group of people? How can we maybe work in a little racism right here that people might not pick up on? I mean, almost certain that was not what they intended to do. It was probably just choose a word to put on here in spray paint, look like graffiti on the wall. Or hard R also can be in reference to like the hard R rating that people always, I mean, that was like a common thing that would be referenced a lot in movie reviews and online articles. Like when Deadpool first came out, the original Deadpool movie, remember hearing about that having a hard R rating, because people were wondering, is this movie going to be like, because Deadpool is very outspoken, brash, vulgar, violent character in the comics and always has been. And so when people started talking about a Deadpool film, that was one thing people were wondering. Is it going to stay true to the comics? Or because it's a superhero movie, is it going to be nerfed? Is it going to be toned down? Even if it gets an R rating, will it just be like he says the F word like two times? No, it got a hard R. It's incredibly violent and very vulgar all the way through. And that's what people used to mean when they said hard R. That's where people's minds would go. I feel like the hard R in reference to a certain way of saying the N-word is a more recent thing. That's not exactly what it's always meant. So I'm just saying, I don't think that they necessarily put it in there for either one of those reasons. My wager would be that it was just a word thrown on the wall and it happened to be next to the letter R. And then people read it this way that triggered them, and people started crying about it. And of course, we got to get that changed. We got to patch that out, because we wouldn't want people to read that the wrong way. Even though this particular combination, the hard R, can be read a different way that's not offensive, we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings here, so let's fix it up. Let's patch that out. All right, whatever. Let me be clear here. I'm not saying that this impacts my opinion of the game. I don't really care too much about that. I'm just saying we went from we're getting the uncensored version to now it's been out for an hour and we've taken to censoring it. We found something in here that needs changed. And the problem with that is that once you do it for one thing, well, the next problematic thing to be brought up, why aren't you going to fix that? You did it for this thing. That offended people. Well, this thing over here, this is kind of, that's a little iffy too. Might need to do something about that. Why don't you guys tweak that too? Why don't you go ahead and patch that out? So, of course, it didn't end with just the hard R scandal. Then when people started examining some of the outfits that you could unlock for Eve, people noticed that, for instance, in one of them, she's wearing like a low-cut shirt that comes down into like a V shape, or a sort of, it comes down, I think, to about her belly button or so. And you get a big bounty of cleavage there in the demo version, or in the, not just the demo, the disc version. This version right here. If you don't connect to the internet and download the patch, you'll see the uncensored version of that costume and several others that have been found since. So once the patch was rolled out, this deep cut shirt now has like a black lacy sort of part to it that goes up to about, I think, her neck, a little bit below, and kind of hides the cleavage. Again, I'm not saying throw the game away or even ask for a refund or any of that shit. I'm just saying, again, we went from this is going to be uncensored to now we've censored this and we censored this. And then there was also the censoring seemingly of the stickiness of the gore in the game, which has nothing to do with sexuality. And I guess there are people who get off on that kind of thing, but I don't think that was not the thrust of the conversation surrounding it. If you watch some older footage of the game, Eve slashes a monster, rips him open. There's like a bunch of monster blood and guts falling down on top of her, and it changes her. It changes her look. It actually sticks to her. You can see like the blood has stained her arms and all over her body. She's like covered in blood. She's like drenched in it. And in the updated version, after the patch, that same footage was shown, and this blood pours down on top of her, but it doesn't stick. Like, as soon as the blood all pours down, the monster's on the ground, she's standing there like totally pristine and clean. There's not that stickiness to it that was shown previously. The more violent version, that seems to have been toned down as well. And all of this, again, after the game's been released. And so there's really no conspiracy about it. You can play the disc version without connecting to the internet, without allowing your game to update the via the patch, and you'll be able to see all this shit for yourself. These aren't the wild, mad ramblings of a bunch of gooners who are upset that they can't jerk off to Eve as successfully anymore because her clothes have been fucking adjusted somehow, which is such a silly argument as well. This idea that the only reason people are upset about the censorship is because they feel like they can't jerk off to the game. I mean, like I said, there are plenty of games out there for people who want to do that, and I don't think that this is one of them. So that's just a line that's being used by people right now who don't want to engage in the actual discussion and who don't want to address the severity of tampering with a studio's original vision, which is my problem here. It's not that, oh my God, now Eve's not as sexy as she was going to be. Like I could just play this one without downloading the patch and I'd have the same costumes, and it's not that different anyway. Which brings up another point, you know? The people making fun of the fans who are passionate about this particular situation, the people making fun of them are oftentimes seen spouting this line like, why do you care so much about one small change to a costume? Why do you even care? Why does it matter to you? Why is it that important? Don't you have better things to worry about? And isn't that strange? Isn't that a strange line of reasoning? Because if it truly were completely irrelevant and it didn't matter at all, then why did they have to patch it in the first place? Right? Why are you so upset about it? Why do you care that they censored a few things in this game? Did it change the overall game that much? Did it make a big difference? Why do you care? Why do you? Why did Sony? Why did they care enough to make the developers of this game go in and patch these things out to update them? It apparently matters a little bit. It matters enough to force the developers to go in and change the game after it's already been released. It matters that much. And so I would say it matters enough then for people to push back against that and say, actually, no, we're not cool with you fucking around after the game has already been put out. After you've already told us, we're getting the uncensored version. We're not going to be messing with it for different regions. Everyone's getting the same original vision, original version of our game that we wanted to put out. People were excited about that. And, you know, in a way, it's similar to Star Wars fans rejecting the Lucas cuts, the updates of the Star Wars films, when George Lucas went in and started adding CG effects and altering scenes and recutting the film, or the films that people had grown to love in that original trilogy. You could say the same thing to those people. Oh, does it really matter? It's still mostly the same movie. Why don't you just shut up and watch it and be happy? Well, because you don't have to. You don't have to as a fan. It's up to you to decide what you're going to be happy with. And if you're anticipating a certain thing and you're promised a certain thing and that thing is not delivered as it was promised, it's being fucked around with. For reasons that really you don't view as being legitimate, then I think you have a right to be unhappy and you have a right to speak out against it. And should it ruin your life? No. Should it ruin your day? Of course not. But you can leave a comment or two online without embarrassing yourself. I don't think that that's an embarrassing thing to do. I think that's why social media is here. That's one of the best things we can do with it, is to make our voices heard and to provide feedback to the companies that we're buying shit from, be it video games or food or anything. Entertainment. Back in the day, all these companies would have had to pay focus groups to get the kind of feedback that they can get immediately now. So if they have the right attitude, I think they look at these situations and they should be glad to see that kind of passion from fans of their thing. Shows people that are taking the time out of their day to engage in this discussion. And absolutely, some people go overboard with it. Some people get too worked up. But not just on the side of people who are pushing back against the censorship. There are people on the other side who are getting extremely worked up about the fact that people are pushing back against the censorship. For instance, Mark Kern, who is a former video game executive from Blizzard, worked there from 1997 to 2005, so this is not a Johnny-come-lately, do-nothing coomer sitting in his basement with his jizz jugs filled to the brim. This is a guy who's been in the industry for a long time. And, he was an associate producer for StarCraft, also a producer of Diablo II, and team lead for World of Warcraft. So the dude's been a part of some pretty important shit in the world of video games. I think he's earned the right to speak on matters such as these. Anyway, he put together on X an 8-step plan to, as he said, free Stellar Blade. That became a hashtag trending topic, free Stellar Blade, like free it from the release, or free it from the grips of the tyrants who are going and trying to muck about with it right now. And so you can check this out if you go to his X page. I'm not going to go through the entire thing. At Grumms, G-R-U-M-M-Z, if you'd like to check out his 8-step plan. Basically, he's talking about getting on social media, sharing under that hashtag, even writing physical letters to the developers and to Sony, emailing them, letting them know that this is not cool with you as a consumer, that you don't want your game that was sold to you as uncensored being immediately censored right after it was released. I think that's like the silliest part of this thing, is not what was censored or how or why. It's the fact that you were promoting it as uncensored and then you forced, I'm talking about Sony forced them to censor it like that day of release. You can't get any sillier than that. And I would say the same thing about the censorship of any game that was promoted that way, even if it was a game that I didn't want to play or didn't care about. Because as someone who likes making things, I understand how frustrating that would be. Even minor details as a creator, they matter. You don't, even if you're writing a book, right? If you're writing a book, a novel, you wouldn't want a random person to read your book and then be like, you know what, if you turn to page 81, you wrote the sentence in a certain way, and I would actually like if you changed it to this. I revised it for you and I wrote a better sentence for you. And I would like you to put that in place of the one that you wrote yourself. It's one sentence out of an entire novel, but you'd probably fight tooth and nail. You're like, you're not the writer of this book. I'm not talking about an editor whose job it is to offer those kinds of suggestions. I'm not talking about a willing act of turning your work over to someone asking for suggestions. I'm talking about your book's done, and then someone unsolicited comes in and says, this sentence bothers me. I would like for you to change it to this, because now this sentence that I've constructed, this that I've written out, this doesn't bother me. Why don't you swap that sentence out with this one? Look, you've got 500 pages. I'm just asking for you to change one sentence for me. Do you see how fucking ridiculous it is? Any writer with an ounce of self-respect would say, fuck you. No, I don't care if it's one sentence. I'm not changing it. This is the book that I wanted to write. Similarly, I don't care if it's one outfit. The creator of the game made it a certain way, was prepared to release it, and then after release was made to change it. Not cool. I don't like it. I don't understand how anyone can support that. Even, like I said, if you don't want to play Stellar Blade, you would have to be just, well, I think you'd have to be completely dishonest to say that that's okay. Because I guarantee you, if you were creating something and someone started making demands after you were finished, oftentimes in very rude ways, not asking, but demanding, this needs to be changed. This book, it would definitely benefit from doing things my way. You know, that kind of shit. Narcissistic behavior, uncalled for, unacceptable even, I think. But I was talking about people going overboard, right? So Mark Kern, Grums, within that 8-step plan, he created a petition that people could sign, a free Stellar Blade petition on change.org. And right now, it is up to 60,000 signatures. Hashtag Free Stellar Blade. 60,556 people have signed this so far. And I think that's just people who care about creators being allowed to create the shit they want to and not have it changed, altered by force after the fact, especially. Along the way is bad enough. Being pressured to create things in a certain way, that's bad enough. Having your thing done and then being made to change it after the product is finished, that's next level horse shit. And no one should be cool with that, as far as I'm concerned. But some people are, and some people are very upset that Mark Kern created that petition and that he's gotten so many people talking about this and that this has become such a big deal. And so I found this out. I'm reading a headline here from thatparkplace.com. It says here, evil individual places $20,000 bounty on Grums, aka Mark Kern, for beginning campaign to uncensor Stellar Blade. So this guy got so butthurt about the hubbub surrounding Stellar Blade and the support that Switch Up or Shift Up has been given, that he went on to X and he commented, or he reposted Grums All of Eve's Outfits Uncensored YouTube video. And this man offered $20,000 to anyone that makes this dipshit disappear, seemingly putting a hit out on Mark Kern for being against the censorship that we've seen in Stellar Blade. Since then, this man has deleted his post, and I think he has cleared out all of his social media. He's probably been visited by law enforcement, I would imagine, because you can't offer to pay people for killing someone that you disagree with on the internet. Not cool to do. That right there is not covered under free speech. That is definitely inciting violence, putting a hit out on a person publicly. You can't do that. It's not advisable. But it didn't stop there. Also, on That Park Place, we got another article here, a follow-up, if you will, that says, Grums calls for FBI to investigate Twitch streamer Denims after she raises bounty on his head to $30,000. So it wasn't enough to see this man dragged and humiliated, and rightly so, for putting a $20,000 hit out on Grums. That wasn't enough. This Twitch streamer Denim saw all of that go down, and she said, you know what? Not good enough. I'm going to make the bounty $30,000. I will pay $30,000 to the man or woman who makes Mark Curran disappear. In fact, I've got the audio right here. Let's listen to what she said.
Listen, I'll up the number, okay? 30K to anyone who'll make this dipshit disappear and make Eve's breasts bigger. Okay, you have to do both. All right? Because then it's a win-win for me. I get more breast, and I don't have to see that moron on my timeline anymore. So if you think about it.
Totally stable, right? That's what normal people do. So, she, I believe, has also deleted this post, and she's trying to hide from the consequences. Of course, I don't think that's going to work out so well. Will Twitch get involved? Will the FBI? Will X? I guess we'll have to wait and find out how this one shakes out, but it's crazy. You want to talk about people taking it too far and people taking this too seriously. Why would you offer $30,000? Why would you offer any money at all to kill a man because he wants an uncensored version of a video game he was excited for? I mean, people want to talk about the Free Stellar Blade hashtag movement being ridiculous. I think this is the real ridiculousness in this situation. This is the absurdity. It's not absurd to want a game restored to its original uncensored version that was promoted to its audience. There's nothing absurd about that. That's just giving the people what was advertised. I mean, that's pretty pedestrian, in my opinion. Absurdity is offering a bounty on a man because he wants the product that was advertised. Can't believe these people, man. What the fuck? What the fuck? What were they thinking? Anyway, I've got my copy right here. I'm looking forward to playing it. Am I going to make sure that I keep it offline so that I get the original uncensored version? Probably not. I'll probably get the update because the update includes a new game plus and what else? Oh, they updated the parry system, I believe, to be a little bit more user-friendly. People were saying that it was very difficult, I will admit. I will admit that. I think that they said the parry timing needed a little improvement, a little tweaking, and that's something else this day one patch is supposed to address, but then, of course, it also changes the things that we've been talking about here. That's not going to break the game for me. I do hope that the game is restored to its original version. If you look at the outfits, like I said earlier, even the censored versions, it's not like they put her in a potato sack. But that wasn't the point. The censored versions also look good. They still are cool looking or sexy, whatever you want to say. But I would like the original version to be restored because that is the version that I believe the creators of this game intended for players to have. And I don't think that a loud minority of people should be able to pressure studios into changing things that they take issue with personally. It's like, if this bothers you that much, play something else. And that's an old-fashioned gamer argument, guys. The world's so set against itself right now, and people are so set against each other that we got to find all these fucking things where we used to be, as gamers, I feel like fairly united against censorship, because the old discussion was like, oh, well, the blood in Mortal Kombat's just too much. The violence in Grand Theft Auto is just too much. You're dealing with M-rated games. Just like this one. It's got an M rating on it. Mature. Basically, you're supposed to be an adult to play these games. And if you're an adult who is able to purchase this, that also means you're an adult who is able to not purchase it and not play it. No one's going to force you to. And that was the shit that people would say to adults back in the day about violent video games like Doom. All the Columbine kids trained on Doom. First of all, fucking ridiculous. Just imagine that. Anyway, but that's what they really said. They didn't. Training for real life combat by playing a, you know, a PC game from the mid 90s or the Super Nintendo version. Yeah, that's how we got ready for war. We trained them up on Super Nintendo games. No, but we used to tell adults, if you could call them that, who were bitching and moaning about this kind of stuff, don't play it if it bothers you. And if you don't want your kids to play it, then don't buy it for them. I mean, it's pretty simple. And it's the same, it should be the same attitude today. If you get triggered by seeing a sexy lady in skimpy clothing, or if that makes you feel bad about yourself because you see a character on screen who's like got the ideal form for a woman or even a man, if you get made to feel uncomfortable because Spider-Man's zipping around the city and he's got muscles and he looks toned and he's acrobatic, and you think about yourself and how you're not those things, seeing that on screen makes me feel bad. I don't like that. I don't like that Spider-Man is so quick and agile. I don't feel represented. I need a character who's slow and lethargic and who sits on his couch and eats Cheetos all day. That's what I need. Okay, well, you know what? Don't play Spider-Man then, if it makes you feel bad about yourself. Or do a little work so it doesn't make you feel bad about yourself anymore. Because it's a fucking video game. Eh? That's about all I got to say about that right now. So, if you haven't done so, please sub to the channel. Bong the gong for notifications so you know when new videos go live. So you know when I go live if you're watching on YouTube. Follow me on Twitter, X at SuperDivorce, on Instagram at SuperDivorceBand. And I play music from time to time. If you want to check out some SuperDivorce tunes, you can do so on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, wherever you stream your horse shit, you can find SuperDivorce. Just type in SuperDivorce, click on the song you're choosing, and see what you think. And if you don't like it, then try another one. If you don't like that one, try another one again, 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 until you find one you do like, because I believe there's a little something there for everybody in the SuperDivorce catalog. All right? So until next time, everybody. Take real good care. Keep kicking ass. Love you lots. Lord willing, I'll be back very soon with another video for you to watch. Bye-bye.
We're going to go viral with this one.